Oh, we're good? Okay. So I'm actually able to VPN into a system we have in our, let me get rid of this, in our Longmont, Colorado office. So we actually have a DMF installation there that's under test today with our Copan made storage on the back end. So this is DMF Manager running on that system. I've got a script here because I'm not an expert DMF Manager user, but hopefully we'll be able to cover, at least give you an overview of what the information you can get through DMF Manager. This is running on Firefox. It's just a browser with a server, in particular port up there that we've jumped onto. I've logged in. There's a DMF Man has a login sort of a permission. There's two levels of login, general user and an administrator. So actually, I'm not typing anything. So if you were to click over here on this login, you would log in as administrator, and that's where you can do all sorts of damage. As I'm logged in, which I won't log in as administrator, this is a test system up and running, I theoretically can't do any damage. I can view and look at things, but not make any major changes. This screen right now is what we call the overview screen. What we have is a series of tabs. I'll run my mouse across the top that you can tab through and get different bits of information. Those are all displayed based on what you select from a drop-down menu up here, either configuration. What you're seeing now is the overview tab that came up when you clicked this. There's storage. You can get tapes and libraries information, messages, reports, alerts, tasks, and statistics, kind of what's going on in the background, and then there's a help. Just a word, I'll mention the help now, but it's available through all these screens. Yeah, it's dynamically linked to the admin guide. So if you can pull up the guide here. If I have a question on something I'm looking at, I can do a right click and do a what is this, and it pops up, well, that's DMI/FS4. It's a file system icon giving you a picture of the file system. So you can interact the particular components that you're seeing with the admin guide. It may help in searching through the hundreds of pages to get to the information you need. Okay, so what we're looking at is there's three file systems under management, FS2, FS3, and FS4. They're actually shown, these bars here show you can the fullness. So you've got, this is fairly low. This is pretty full. This is hitting the high water marks. If I mouse over, you see this popping up. This is actually the high water marks themselves. So FS4 has 92% full. The free space minimum is 5%, and the free space target is 10%. So this is probably getting pretty active here. What's represented logically down here is these MGs, which are called migration groups. I don't know if you're familiar with what a migration group is. It's sort of a relatively new term that we added with dealing with a Copan system. Basically, we present, and you can see MG0s related to a bunch of volume groups down here. We present a series of volume groups together as a single migration group. This is to help balance the workload on a Copan array. Okay, so it's a new concept that was introduced with the Copan integration work. So file system 2, 3, and 4 is related to MG0, which is related to VG 30, 32, 34, and 36. So those are the relationships you see that's just basically pulling information out of the configuration file and showing it to you graphically. And if I can take this, I can hide those relationships, I can look at MG1, and you'll see it's the other set of volume groups tied to the file systems. Here's the virtual tape library, which is what the Copan system's coming across at. And that library, if I show relations on that, is composed of these drive groups. Okay? So if you had multiples of these, which we envision someday having multiple Copan arrays and multiple VTLSs and their own drive groups. And you can see the relationship between the VGs and the drive group and the migration group in this. So this is just a picture of kind of how everything, all the components are tied together logically. One of the features coming to this view is a physical representation, more of what the servers are that are on the system that are your DMS server, your HA server, and so forth. Kind of at a high level, you'll see DMF over here has a green shield with a red X. A red X, there's three icons we use to designate kind of things you want, may want to look at. There's a red X, there's those things that the admin needs to take a look at. A yellow triangle with an exclamation point, those are sort of alerts or advisory things. And then eyes with the cloud is informational. So there's red X up here. It says there's probably something I want to look at. I mouse over. It tells me what those are. It also tells me what the other alerts and informational items are, all in one place. A little bit more about this screen. So those DMS services, these are, you can do a what is. You can poke around what this is. This is basically the parallel distributed data mover services and what's their current status. Over here is our folders with our policies. I can show the configuration, and it's basically an output, what my thresholds are for the volume and the migration group policies that are displayed here. And all this, I can, if I want to set my preferences, I can choose here what I want to display and what I don't display on the screen. Okay, I think, trying to go quickly, I think that's a good overview there. The next tab I want to look at is the reports tab. So this, these are all the emails you get as administrators are displayed here. You don't have to have a, fancy scheme to manage your alert emails from DMF. If you like, you can just go to this screen. You can get, the biggest value here is to get the history. You may lose emails over time. But this one will log it. It logs all these daily reports into a flat file, and you can go back in time as you need. The icons again are there to show the kind of priority of the report, the alerts in the report for you to look at. And on the right screen, as you select something, it's just going to show you the reports. I can drill down specific reports and just see that. So pretty basic. The alerts is another level. Within these reports are different alerts. These are just the alerts that are displayed here in a table with again the priority, and I can sort on that. And I can show me just right now it's sorted by time, sorted by priority, and may want to go the other way and put the high ones at the top. And so I can just focus on maybe the things I need to draw attention to, and I can select and acknowledge, which I won't now, select and acknowledge this report, which will make it disappear from this view. It won't disappear completely, but this alert will disappear from the view if I've acknowledged it. So you can trim down what you're looking at. Or I can do a text search on the alert itself and pull those up to the top. So it's another way to just to keep track of all the information coming. And over here is a count, which is interesting. So it's not going to have a same alert multiple times. It's not going to have multiple entries. It'll just tell you that this alert was given to you 5 times. And I'm just showing you time-wise, this is the latest one. Okay. So I'm having trouble reading this. Tapes. Let's look at some of the hardware. So this view for the volume groups for this Copan array and these multiple volume groups, I'm showing all the tape cartridges. Now, it's kind of interesting. We're talking about a Copan disk array, so why are there cartridges? But the way we've presented Copan, and I could talk to you more. We probably don't have time to get into it. We presented Copan like a library, whether it's a VTL instance of Copan or the native made array instance of Copan. It's just the logic already in DMF to address tape libraries is solid, and it's the right way to address a made to account for LUNs that could be spun down. So the terms are crossing over. But you have a concept of a volume group, which is basically a drive. I'm not going to get this straight, probably. A volume group, I believe, is a shelf of 112 drives. There's 8 of those shelves in a rack. In those 112 drives on the shelf, it's broken down to RAID sets. Those RAID sets are I believe tape cartridges, and then those subdirectories and those RAID sets are further broken down in there. So we can go through that if you like, but what I'm presenting here is what it would look like for a physical tape library or a virtual tape library or a Copan-made, is all the tapes that are represented, and I can select that by volume group. And it tells me there's 52 tapes in this volume group. It tells me the hold flags that are currently there. If I don't know what the hold flag U means, I do what is U. It tells me what the key is for all the hold flags. Gives me the update age. So when is this last time this hold flag was updated? I can put all those at the top. This is 1 day ago, 15 hours ago, or so forth. If I am logged in, this is where I could do damage. Yeah, I could change the state of the hold flags for these tapes. I can then start kicking off, sparsing actions to the tapes, ejecting them. If I've got an issue with that tape, sparse it and eject it, or sparse it and free it for the pool. I can do all those actions as if I were admin, by doing a right click, which would show up if I were logged in as admin as an option for that tape. And I can select multiple of those and do those all at once. Okay. Let's see. Let's look at. I just closed that. Let's look at libraries. I'll give it a second to refresh here. You can see in the right corner up here, it's working on, waiting for library. Hopefully, it won't wait too long as it goes out to Colorado and back. There it goes. So this is giving me basically the libraries within DMF VTL, which is again the Copan rack. These are the different libraries. And I can select and view the information from one of those. I can get understanding on those libraries. So those drives in the library, there's 8 shells, 8 drives. Let's show in 7 there, but it tells me what's mounted, what's not mounted, what's going on at that moment in time. So it'll take a snapshot of the refresh, give me what's the current status is. If I want to see what it, I can do another a refresh here. I won't do it because of the time, but I can get an updated status. It'll just tell me kind of a snapshot with the what's going on with that. You about to ask a question, Rob?
It doesn't quite provide the same stat watch rate, but it does tell you whereabouts it is
in the active volume. It'd be good to have a user field where you could actually state where the physical component, the physical equipment is in relation to a data center, and a data center location on the floor, for not only the tape, but also for your disk system.
So repeat that again.
So you extend it beyond just being a view to see the status of what's going on. You can actually see where things are physical location.
In terms of?
In terms of keeping track of your assets.
Okay, so this is in computer room 1, library, that's rack number, whatever.
It consolidates for a storage administrator rather than having to go talk with data center admin that has a map of the room.
Exactly. So. We're going to be able to provide this sort of the server information as the first step to the sort of the physical view. That's what I mentioned on that previously. I think having more information on the back end is would be interesting to have. So yeah, good point. Okay, let me look at some of the performance stats. So if I under statistics. There's 3 different tabs I can pull up, DMF activity, resources, or I.O. I'm going to look first at the resources tab, which should already be up, and so I don't have to do a refresh here. Okay, so as the screen here is painting, what I've got available to look at is file system, resources, libraries, drive groups, volume groups, and disk caches. And if I select this full file system, give it a moment. So it shows me what in that file system And what's not, there's a bug, and I apologize, we couldn't get it fixed before the demo, but there should be a kind of a instantaneous snapshot line up here that shows you the different colors, what's free, not migrated, and dual and partial state. It does show you, you know, what's offline. There's, you know, basically 3.7 terabytes or so offline of this file system's oversubscribed by 3.4 times. The file system itself, which is not displaying for some reason, but it's, you know, approaching a terabyte here. So what also is shown in the last hour, last day, last month, kind of what has gone on in this file system in terms of the state of the files in it. So it retains a little bit of history. You can go back and say, well, there was I don't know what happened here. I don't know if that's a bug or something, but obviously we could drill down further on that. On drive groups, this is sort of giving you a snapshot of that drive groups. So these are directories, I believe, within the LUN on the RAID set, and it's telling you what exactly is going right on. And these are a lot of idles. This one's busy writing. It's migrating from VG32. Tells you what zone block it's migrating to, the volume name, which is a further subdirectory. And then again on the volume groups, what's going on, what has happened basically historically. And again, there should be a kind of instantaneous picture up above for this particular VG32. Not much has been done in the last hour, last day, but last month you can see, you know, it was unavailable for a period. It was read-only, writing, locked, so forth. You can get an idea of what happened between these time periods. What is that? Why is that so huge? Not quite sure what these numbers are. It doesn't make sense. Okay. Moving on from the resources tab, I want to look at the DMF activity tab. Okay, there's two basic views of the activity. You can look at the number of requests or the throughput on these processes. So if I look at requests on a per file system basis, again, I'll go to FS4. It's where the busiest. In the last hour, there were that many migration requests. You know, somewhere around 20-something-ish migration requests with a few recalls and little tiny green slivers up there. In the last hour, again, it shows you over time what's been going on. If you look at the last month, you can see huge spikes in requests, relatively idle or, you know, normal request activity in the spike, and then nothing here. So this, for that file system, you can see what's hitting it in terms of request, and then further, you can see what's hitting that in terms of throughput demands. In the last hour, in migrations, you know, 400 megabytes a second in migrations that period of time. And the recalls, and then last day, last month, see what's going on. And then if you wanted to see where that data, so that's sort of that's the source, or, you know, file system view, maybe the source or destination, but in the volume group, you get sort of the same view, picking VG34 here, what's happened with this one, lots of migrations, a few recalls. Again, here's a period of just all recalls, so forth. Okay. Now this I/O tab is a new tab we've added this as of this current quarter, and this is a different way of collecting. So this is using PCP in the background, basically, watching data as it goes in and out of file systems and things like that. What the I/O tab has implemented is the database internally into DMF Manager, which is, I'll try to do it off memory, but basically, you know, you hit a request, what's the start time of the request, what's the source and the sync of that particular request, how much data is represented in that request, and then what's the finish time. So it's actually logging this into a database, and then what we do here is we provide you some views of how to look at that. This year, we want to provide maybe more useful views. So I may go through some of these, and it'd be good to have suggestions on some of the things, and these are going to be, you know, fairly similar types of things we saw on the activity page, but just using a different set of data that allows us more flexibility in terms of how to present it. But you know, it just shows you, again, for that file system, what's been going on in terms of megabytes per second for the last hour, day, and month. You can look at, again, tape drives themselves.
So then, is that just the I.O. from VMF, or is it the total I.O. on it?
No, I knew somebody was going to ask me that question. And I emailed Suda this morning asking her. I don't know, Rob. That's a good question.
I think it would be the I.O. from VMF on it.
Yeah, I think it does have to relate to some sort of DMF request. That would make sense to me. Yes, absolutely. So, again, tape drives and cartridges, I can display this in information for any one of these. Okay. And again, it gives me the history, which is really, really nice if you want to look at over time how things are trending. It's, of course, looking at a single cartridge may not be as interesting as some of these other views, but you can drill down to that level of detail. All right. I think that's my blast through it. Probably didn't do it too much justice. Obviously, if there's just questions, I can take maybe a minute. I don't know how much time we have, but.
So do you dump all of your inode information into the database that you've queried?
This database for the performance information?
Sure.
No, I don't believe so. I think they're only looking at requests. So.
But is the inode?
Is the inode information for that request contained? That's a.
On a file, just on a file basis within the system, is that contained somewhere?
I would assume it would have to be somewhere. Now, whether we're able to pull this information forward is the question.
So you would be able to generate graphs based on users, groups, paths?
Yeah, after seeing yours yesterday, I need to, like I said, I need to go back and see if that is possible. If we have that level of information that we can tie to the other databases within DMF and extract that detail, I think that would be
amazing. Just to take that one step further with this tape sort of thing, you could see the obsolete, used, valid data, and also be able to drill into the valid data to see what percentage of which user or which groups. So you get an idea of who's impacted by a tape. What term do you guys use when you merge?
Sparsing it.
Yeah, you get an idea of that.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
That information is available in there, very
easy. It's not displaying.
Well, I think that's something that we could look at displaying after seeing that information. Good.
One question for me. To what extent can a new site just use the DMF man and not have to run a command to manage the DMF configuration?
To manage the whole configuration,
yeah.
That's Open Vault version 2, and some of the changes we're progressing there. I mean, right now, we're showing you what you've already configured, and the intent is, from a year from now, is actually to use this interface to work through a series of here's all the hardware resources available, here's which ones you want to designate as a volume group, a drive group, so forth. Yeah.
Sorry to dominate you. You had a view before that showed like the different weightings that you can put on the, I don't know what you call it, we call it a releaser, as far as the disk space goes. I think a really good feature would be the possibility of changing those without actually affecting the system. So you can play around with the tuning so you can get an idea of what the sweet spot is for your system for releasing files.
Okay.
Rather than making changes, seeing how it affects the system, and going, oh shit, and then, because you can put a lot of load on the system by doing that.
Okay.
So having a simulator.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that'd be interesting.
Sorry.
So playing what if games.
Yeah, it's something that I'm thinking about doing with ours, is having the ability to change the weight criteria for different things, and without actually affecting the file system. So if you can dump all the information out of the inodes, if you've got that information, then you can apply those weightings to that and actually simulate what would be the effect and try and find the sweet spot.
Okay, so it's a tuning simulator of sorts that allows you to play with that. That's good.
Great start, Gavin.
What documentation for OpenVault is available?
Documentation for OpenVault. I don't think there's any. that's a good question. I don't know if there's. We've pulled the DMF admin guide. I know there's a separate guide for OpenVault. I'm not sure if that's been pulled too.
And there is a separate OpenVault admin guide.
Yeah. I don't think it is. Yep.
You're going to stop there and let the next speaker.
Let's thank you.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.